Welcome to Caregivers and Candid Conversation Podcast. I am Lashina McBride, the host and the executive director of We Support Caregivers Incorporated. We Support Caregivers is a 501c3 organization whose mission is to encourage and empower individuals who care for their elderly loved ones to cultivate and focus on self-care. To make a donation or to learn more about us, please visit WeSupportCaregivers.org. And caregivers, while you're on our website, be sure to check out everything that we've made available to you. From our Care Connection emails that you can subscribe to, from our self-care support text that you can join, from our self-care support kits that you can sign up to possibly receive one, the birthday club, our free educational resources, and more. Again, visit WeSupportCaregivers.org and check all these resources that are available to you, the caregiver. Hey everyone, do you know that We Support Caregivers has sponsorship opportunities? What a great opportunity to support the community and promote your business at the same time. We Support Caregivers offer sponsorship levels, which include individual, small business, entrepreneurs, and corporate sponsorships. Our sponsorship packages are loaded with benefits for each sponsorship level. Some benefits include getting featured in our Care Connections newsletter, to a 60-second commercial airing during our podcast episodes. There is something for everyone. Are you interested? Visit WeSupportCaregivers.org to fill out the sponsorship interest form. Remember, your donations and contributions help us continue to help other people. We Support Caregivers Incorporated because caregivers deserve self-care.
We all know that social media is full of information, but you have to keep scrolling to find what pertains to you. Well, caregivers, did you know that you can have your information about what we offer to caregivers delivered straight to your email? We Support Caregivers has created a newsletter just for you titled The Care Connection. It's delivered to your inbox once a month. Caregivers, stay connected and stay in the know by going to our website at www.wesupportcaregivers.org and sign up today. Let us support you on your caregiving journey. We Support Caregivers because caregivers deserve self-care.
So we're here doing another Caregivers and Candid Conversation podcast. I have the pleasure to have with me Dr. Erica Jones. Go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Well, hello, Miss Lashina.
Hey.
We've been laughing all morning, I mean, all afternoon when we get started. But yes, I am Dr. Erica Jones, mm-hmm. and I am a wife, mother. I'm a granddaughter, sister.
Yes.
I'm all these things and a business owner.
Right. So go ahead, tell us a little about your businesses, give them a little bit of information about that before you move forward.
Okay, no problem. So I am one of the owners of Silvercare LLC, which is a home care agency in Norfolk, Virginia. Mm-hmm. We service all seven areas of Hampton Roads.
Okay.
We've been in business since 2017, so we provide personal care services to the elderly and disabled. So recently, we've been trying to work more into the dementia arena.
Okay.
So my nonprofit is to be started as Silvercare Dementia Center Incorporated.
Yes.
Where we're going to focus on individuals living with dementia and their caregivers.
Awesome, which is great. And congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So this podcast, we're focusing on dementia. And Dr. Erica Jones, she's going to share with us information about what dementia is, different types, and so forth. So my first question is, probably in a nutshell, because I think dementia is one of those things that's like an umbrella.
Yep.
But the simplest form or the simplest way you can put it, what is dementia?
So, okay. So let me tell you what it's not.
Okay. All right.
And maybe say, maybe not let me say what it's not, but okay. What I do notice is, and I did it too, okay. When I first, even though my background is psychology, mm-hmm. and of course in my studies, dementia was never one of the real maybe subjects, because when you're studying, you're on all different types of subjects.
Okay.
But dementia is one that actually experienced in my family,
right,
which was my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so it allowed me to go a little bit deeper into what dementia was all about.
Okay.
So I noticed that over time, as I meet with other people, they kind of mix dementia and Alzheimer's as the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I really had to say, well, is it the same thing, mm-hmm. you know? And so what I found out in the different examples, and the easiest, one of the easiest way to say it is, just like you were saying, it's an umbrella. Mm-hmm. Dementia is actually symptoms of a disease.
Got you.
So dementia is not the disease itself. It's one of the, it's a cause, an underlining.
Oh, okay.
There's always some underlining issue that may cause dementia symptoms.
Okay.
So it's the big umbrella and all the diseases fall up under it. So you've got like over 100 diseases, over 100, and it might be anywhere from 100 to 400.
Wow.
That could possibly bring on the onset of dementia symptoms, which is memory loss, loss of judgment, loss of reasoning, you know. Of course, we know that short-term memory mm-hmm, that causes mm-hmm. functions. And so what happens is a lot of people say, oh, Alzheimer's and dementia. So really, Alzheimer's is something that eventually your body is going to start to just slowly decline and then stop, right?
Okay.
But with dementia, of course, you'll hear people say they die from dementia. Somebody died from the dementia.
Right, right.
Of course, because after a while, your brain is damaged. And maybe this person just lost the urge to eat. So our brain controls everything about our body. Yeah, controls everything about our body. Mm-hmm. So that's usually what happens. They're not taking care of themselves because they just don't know how anymore.
Okay.
So eventually when you lose connection and function under your body, you'll die. So if you have Alzheimer's, you have dementia. But if you have dementia,
that doesn't mean
you have Alzheimer's.
That
it means
nice.
You have some other, some other illness, whether it be vascular dementia, mm-hmm. Parkinson's disease, Lewy bodies, mm-hmm. A brain injury.
Mm.
So all of those different things, even developmental disabilities, so intellectual disabilities could bring on a form of symptoms of dementia as well.
So I like how you said it, because I never was, it was never, and of course you had the up close and personal experience by mm-hmm. taking care of your grandparents, yeah. but I never was, even in, you know, I've received some certifications in, you know, dementia, it was not put like the way you explained it. So thank you for going mm-hmm. into that. My mom had vascular dementia,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but she had vascular issues.
Right. Exactly.
So it makes sense now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you did. I appreciate you mm-hmm. answering that. So explain the difference between onset dementia, mm-hmm. that term. What is that all about? And what can bring the onset of dementia?
So various things. So maybe like some dementias are irreversible. You hear that? Reversible.
Oh,
some dementias are reversible.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Some dementias are reversible. So there is a whole list of them. You can probably just Google it, but you'll see like a whole list. But one can be, as we talked about earlier, a UTI.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a UTI that's untreated,
mm-hmm.
over a period of time, they'll start getting these symptoms of dementia. Right?
Okay.
Their behavior starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
They're not have a lot of memory in certain areas. And then once they get the antibiotics and they get cured, mm-hmm. they're coming back. There's another thing called delirium, of
mm-hmm.
course, can display almost signs of dementia. So a lot of times elderly people experience that, like if they're in the hospital, you're like, wow, that's not them. They might come home for a couple of days and it's like, that's not them. They're saying different things that
right.
they usually don't say. They're not remembering certain things, and sometimes it's just delirium that happens, okay, and that just needs to wear off after, right, a couple of days from being in the hospital.
Right, especially if they receive anesthesia, because when I used to work in the hospital, mm-hmm, and especially in our elderly patients,
yeah,
they will go through that after the anesthesia wear off, like, mm-hmm, have those type of dementia-like, yep, exactly, symptoms, but of course they didn't have it,
right,
dementia.
Another thing too is medications.
Yep.
If you're a person that takes like a whole bunch of medications and you've been taking them for years and you just get medications from this doctor and that doctor, and sometimes those medications will counteract, mm-hmm, and cause those dementia symptoms. Mm-hmm. They've had research that's known that, you know, they took person's medication, mm-hmm, away and made sure they gave them the medication that was specifically for them, because sometimes elderly people, they like to take a lot of medicine. They may say they don't, but they got bottles and bottles and bottles, right, of medicine. And if you don't have a doctor to kind of go through those prescriptions over, right, time, or even say, I just took my grandfather to the doctor, mm-hmm, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he has, because since we've been taking care of him, he doesn't eat all of those sweets like he used to. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to drive and go get those pork rinds, caramel popcorn. He eat that stuff all day long. But now, and he's a very small person. He's, you know, his frame is small, but, mm-hmm, just over years, he gained lots of weight, right? So that meant he was pre-diabetic. He was on, you know, diabetes medication. Mm-hmm. He had high blood pressure. You know, he has all these different issues, high cholesterol. But then since we have been watching him, of course, we limit, you know, his sweets. So now he has gone from like 220 pounds now to 142.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Lost a lot of weight. So I asked the doctor, I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, he's on a couple of medications. Can we review his medications?
Yes.
Because he's not exhibiting or doing the same behaviors that he did when, prior, he was on his own, mm-hmm, as far as his eating behaviors. So, you know, he looked at him and he said, yeah. He said, well, we'll keep him on the high blood pressure because, mm-hmm, we want to make sure we keep that stable, and the cholesterol, of, mm-hmm, course. But there was another medication. They was like, well, yeah, this medication is really outdated. So I guess what he's saying is just really not a thing anymore. Oh, and it's just, okay, not even necessary. Just give him baby aspirin. And I'm like, well, if I would have never asked that, right, you would have refilled, right, that, because you'd already put in, right, the refills. And I asked this right at the end when we're getting ready to leave. So you had no intentions,
right,
of even looking at that medication.
Right. And see, that's why it's important for caregivers to, mm-hmm, be proactive.
Right.
And, you know, another reason why a lot of elderly people have a lot of medications, again, different hospital stays. Mm-hmm. And always the primary is not contacted, or the hospital don't do the job to follow, right, up with the primary care doctor. Mm-hmm. They expect the loved ones or that person themselves to follow up. Next thing you know, they still taking the hospital stuff,
right?
And then what the primary care doctor initially prescribed for them. Mm-hmm. So, because every time somebody don't follow up after a hospital stay, yeah, with their primary care.
Exactly.
So, caregivers, it's very important for you to be proactive and take that initiative, mm-hmm, to review medications and ask those questions,
yes,
of the doctor when you bring your loved ones to their physician.
Yeah.
So that's true. I really like it. I learned. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. My mom used to have frequent use. She was diagnosed with vascular dementia, like kind of near the end.
Yeah.
Because I did the process of elimination, and then with my family, my niece, like when I was working at the time, my niece would help, and you know, she, mm-hmm, looked at her grandma. She was like, she would call me at work. She's like, Auntie, it was funny, but it wasn't funny. She was like, Auntie, I got to tell you what Nana did today. I said, what, girl? She would tell me straight, and we would laugh together. Mm-hmm. She said, Auntie, but something like that. I said, I know, I'm taking note.
Yes.
You know, and another thing, like when my mom, like some dementia, like people who do have dementia, my mom had vascular dementia.
Yes.
It was challenging to get her out the house. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, outside of taking care of my mom, because she was the first person I took care of that had dementia.
Yes.
But outside of that, you know, I took care of other people who had it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, my mom, it was challenging to get her out the house. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, no problem. I had every doctor. Look, her primary came. The, mm-hmm, eye doctor came. Podiatrist came.
Yes.
I had everybody come to the house.
Right.
And like her primary, they came with a whole team. Look, you, mm-hmm, need blood. You need your. They came with a whole team. I was like, that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
You know, and that was really needed. So it was near the end. She did get frequent UTIs, and then when I make her UTI, I would take her over, you know, to the hospital. They'll take her urine because she was also a dialysis patient. So that's another, you know.
Exactly.
But it was near the end when her doctor came out and she did her checkup. They took urine, all that kind of stuff. And she was like, you know, she don't have a UTI. I was like, well, it can't be medication. This is that. She said, I can tell you right now, your mom has vascular dementia.
Yeah.
She said, I mean, and that was kind of near the end.
Yeah.
She said, because she got vascular issues, she said. And so, again, it's challenging, it you know, caring with someone, caring for someone that has dementia.
Yes.
So I just like the detail that you're giving, because again, I didn't know that it was more so an underlying condition that brought it on or to show the symptoms of dementia.
Exactly. My grandfather said he had a stroke. That's how his all started. He had a stroke right in the springtime. I think it was like March. But he, you know how you heard that if you have a stroke, you need to get to the hospital right away because they can do some things to make, you know, reverse. So he didn't let us know. So I believe he had that stroke the day, maybe a day or so before. And it was just really making him feel bad. So we were at the church, and after church, he kind of sits down. We was like, you're not looking right. And my grandmother said, yeah, earlier today, he asked me, is my mouth twisted? Is his mouth twisted? And we was like, well, that sounds like stroke. And he was like, well, we was like, we need to take you to the hospital. And he said, well, I'm going to go home and change my clothes first. I said, no.
Right.
They don't care if you and your dress clothes. We're going to go now. And so sure enough, he had suffered a stroke. And then within, so from March to August is when he started, July and August is when he started displaying different behavior.
Okay.
And so we was like, well, what's going on? You know, getting up in the middle of the night, going outside, trying to get in people's cars. Started going into the other bedroom and putting on like more than one sweater. He had like three or four layers of clothing on.
Okay.
So it didn't take long for his symptoms to start. So that stroke must have really damaged parts of his brain that, you know, start making those symptoms right away.
Okay. Yeah. So can diet or does our diet play a role in like the onset of
dementia?
Girl.
Absolutely. Okay. And that is the one thing that I have learned. Yes. I've been learning. I'm still learning about your gut. They talk about it all the time, about your gut and your intestines and what you're putting inside of you. The food that we used to eat years ago growing up is not the same food now. They're putting stuff in everything to make it, you know, it extend and spread out and last longer, and it may taste good, but a lot of times it's not good for us. And we just have to know our bodies. We have to know our bodies. Of course, I, you know, am stable with blood pressure medication. And, but you know, at 29, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure and started taking medicine. But at 29, I didn't think about my body. I thought, I take the medicine, I still eat as much as salt as I want to eat. I'm good. Don't take my blood pressure. I have no idea if I'm running high levels or not.
Okay.
As I start to get older and taking care of my grandparents and understanding dementia, I'm thinking, well, do I want to travel the same road? Well, yeah, because I'm taking high blood pressure medicine, and I start taking my blood pressures, and I'm like, I'm on this medicine, but my blood pressures are high. Because I'm thinking, oh, I take the meds and I eat everything I want. And then a doctor's like, oh, we're going to put you on two medications. I said, no,
you're not.
No, you're not.
Right.
I said, I'm going to get this together.
That's right.
We're not going to do that.
Right.
So, yes, it plays an important factor. And now, have I had issues with my eating because I love sweets?
Oh, don't
I
talk.
Love anything
oh
with a whipped cream on it. And
I
found out I'm lactose intolerant on certain things. But I just finally, finally at my age decided no on certain things. No. Now, do I sometimes indulge in it? Yes. But I learned, for me, I have to do it in moderation, but very light moderation.
Okay.
Anything I particularly eat shoots my blood pressure up.
Okay.
Whether I'm eating, taking the, you know, while okay. I'm taking the pills as well.
Okay.
So, but I can keep that under control.
Okay.
So now I drink oat milk because okay. still the almond milk messes with my stomach.
Okay.
And they say it would do that. Okay. You know, so oat milk doesn't, and I'm just learning and listening to my body.
Listen to our bodies.
Listen to it. If I eat something that I love and it makes me feel bad later on, that's not good for me.
Yeah.
But I did that all my life. I'm like, I'm going to eat this now and I'll lay down later because this is so good. But I'm like, why do I want to keep doing that to myself?
I know. I feel you. I know. And that's the way on my mind too, because again, my mom had high blood pressure and diabetes. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of changing my diet. I'm eating cleaner. Like, let me tell you, it's not even that. It's when I want sugar.
Yeah.
Me and that relationship with ice cream, girl. Let me tell you. Anybody who knows me know I like a good ice cream and cake.
I do too, but you know what I do now?
What?
I go to, if I go to Cold Stone or mostly Cold Stone Creamery or, you know, any other ice cream, and usually a lot of the non-dairy ice cream is nothing but chocolate and peanut butter. Mm-hmm. You never have any of the good flavors.
Okay.
But when I go to Cold Stone, I do see all the ice cream that I love. But I'm like, Erica, if you eat that, your stomach immediately is going to be doing flips. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe my intestines, maybe that's what it is. It's going to be doing flips. But so what I just do is, even though I say almond milk is a problem, but it's not as bad. Mm-hmm. They have this almond silk either shake.
Okay.
Or they make it in the cup with chunks of bananas, nuts, and whatever else in
right.
it. But it's, and it doesn't.
That's good.
Go into flips. Mm-hmm. But yes, I love ice cream. And it's still kind of like a chocolate flavor. But the bananas and everything else is mixed with it. I love it. And I don't get the whipped cream because that's dairy too. But just finding other ways to satisfy.
Right.
And I think sometimes we like sweet things, but we can find things that are sweet. And sometimes we just need to feel that just a little bit.
Correct.
But sometimes we want to go overboard, you know, and we don't have to.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes us, because women, we have our cycles and stuff. And my doctor told me, she said, listen, you know, that's just going to be that week or that week. And for me, it's more so leading up to it. Because when my cycle starts, it's like, I don't even want this stuff now.
Right.
I don't even want it now. Like, what are you? Like, I don't even want it now. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, okay. So, what can we do? Okay. So, obviously, diet plays a role.
It does.
In onset.
Yes.
You said there were some forms of dementia that can be reversible or...
Yeah, so like I was bringing up an example, like UTI, these behave things that come, medications, many different medications that counteract. Once they're taking off those medications and putting on the right medications, that, you know, that behavior may change. There's just been stories about that.
Okay.
You can look up stories of people that, you know, were diagnosed with dementia but found out their medication.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there can be other underlying diseases that may be cured
and that would cure the symptoms of
dementia.
So let me ask you this, what can we eat that might can, like, good mind and brain foods? What are some good mind and brain foods that might can help, you know, dementia, or pretty much make our minds healthier, stronger?
So I have researched, one is a Mediterranean diet. That consists of a lot of, like, salads, like baked chicken, a lot of your different, like, garlics and what else, like your olives, but you gotta be careful with those because they're kind of salty, you know, those kind of things. The what else, like, you'll have to look up a lot of the different things, most of the time those Mediterranean foods, like, I'm not for sure about the places like Cava and stuff.
I like Cava,
but I need to make sure Cava don't have a lot of salt, though.
Okay,
because, you know, you have those.
That's true.
When you make that stuff at home, you can kind of control that.
Yeah, intake. And do you know what? Me not eating out a lot, I can tell now when I eat out how salty things are.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, the salt.
And that's what they do because they want to make it taste good.
Right.
But for me, that might be a little bit too much. Yeah. I just want to say this about Kava. I had actually put on there, they had a little, what is it? The broccoli and
the roasted vegetables?
Yes. Why do they charge an extra $2 or something to have that?
Because it's healthy.
Because it's healthy.
Yeah.
What in the world? but anyhow, your blueberries, your raspberries, your strawberries, those are strong antioxidants that actually what they call free radicals. Those things that we get from environmental stuff all day, breathing in all day long, that can destroy. Mess with your brain. So those things are really able to eliminate those out of you. So you want stuff that's high antioxidant. So even if you eat dinner, breakfast, put some fruit on your plate. I learned this from one of my cohort queens, and she would say colors. Make sure your plate is full with colors. So that means that green peppers and red peppers and onions and, you know, your vegetables have lots of color to them. Yeah, but for us putting fruit on your plate, you know, those antioxidants, those berries, nuts, you say is right. Nuts are good too. Just don't do a lot of them because it's fat and can have high cholesterol from them, you know? Yeah. So you have to do those in moderation. No salt, preferably. But most of the time, it's your fruits. And I've heard of having a Mediterranean diet style.
I was going to ask you. So let me ask you this. You know how some diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, it's more prevalent in the African-American, you know, culture. Can one even say that dementia and, you know, symptoms of dementia is also prevalent in the African-American more so? Or there's no study showing?
Oh, no. Studies show it.
Yeah.
Studies show that the highest is African-Americans, Hispanics, and then you have your Caucasians mostly. Why is that? And it's also, I just saw a study, it's on the East Coast as well. It's more prevalent on the East Coast with dementia. Yeah. So yes, the high African, it is true. And it almost seems like it could be hereditary. But what makes it hereditary, seem like it's hereditary, is because we have all
the diet
and also the diseases that we encounter. So my great grandmother passed away at 45. She came home. She had a headache. She said she's going to lay down and go to sleep. Didn't get back up. Silent killer. She had high blood pressure, right?
Yeah.
So she died. Then, of course, now my grandmother had heart issues and high blood pressure. My mom has high blood pressure. My granddaddy, you know, brung on the onset of high blood pressure. But he was the only one really that didn't have it until later on because he started eating all that stuff. And then it's like they say, well, you know, some of these things are just on your DNA. But if I don't take care of myself and I get dementia, my mom don't take care of herself. So then everybody like, oh, my God, that's hereditary. No, it's the disease. And, you know, we have strokes and things like that can bring on dementia. So I want to break that cycle.
And exactly. And I'm with you on that because, listen, my whole mindset is, okay, my mom had diabetes. Her mom had diabetes. And that was my mindset. When my mom died, I died with her. It's not coming nigh me. You know, I declare and decree that in Jesus' name. You understand? Well,
let me tell you, Mark 11:24, you have what you say.
Come on.
And so I say, I will not have dementia.
Come on, I will not.
None of my generations me will have dementia. Generations with me will not have dementia. On. So you have what you say.
Right. And my thing is, too, knowing just because it's smart, we have to know what's in our family history. But I feel like that gives us ammo on know how to change our lifestyles and diets now so it's not us. So that's taking care of my mom up close and personal as I did and watch her decline, have her the high blood pressure, the diabetes, which all led to the renal failure.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I feel like I got the ammo to know, okay, because I didn't know. Now working in dialysis, when I was taking care of my mom and she was a dialysis patient, I didn't know that it was preventable. Kidney failure is preventable.
It is. And I found out when I moved in with my grandmother, looking through some medical records, she was in stage 2 of kidney disease.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea. And she said she didn't know either. But I said, well, wow. Here it is, right here. And so, you like you said, we have to make those choices and we have to get fed up.
Right.
Enough is enough. Right. It's enough. And it's all about our body. Are we going to let our bodies control us? We're going to let this flesh control us?
Right.
No, because this flesh don't know nothing but to get pleasures.
Right.
So we have to, there's sometimes I have to look at it and say, that's nice.
But no.
I'm not going to eat.
Exactly, me too.
I see.
And I've been having a whole conversation with myself in the store. I'm like, hey, you're not getting ice cream. You're not going to get that coconut cake either. And I walk past it and say, no, not doing it.
That's it.
I'm not doing it.
That's it. I know. It but hurt my heart.
I know. Oh, what? Girl, I'm telling you, one day I had a whole attitude that I wanted to eat it and I didn't. I was like, no, Sheena, you're not doing this.
Exactly.
So it's our mind changing, our mindset,
You
know, and being very intentional.
Exactly.
Very intentional.
Very.
And having that circle of support, too, that, you know, that lean on and to encourage you. No, you can do it. You know what I mean? But I was just saying our parents and our just, you know, that's enough a reminder, like, hey, this can't be us too.
And water.
Yes.
Water.
Yes.
Drink your water.
Yes.
Drink it.
Yes.
Drink it. And if you get to the point where you drink water so much, I don't know about for anybody else. But for me, I don't even want anything else.
Right. I don't.
And know if I do drink it, it's like sweet. It's I just might want a little sip of it. But once I start, if I start forcing myself to drink, you know, then I will fall off the wagon with not drinking water. But I want to, you know, I keep my water regimen. Drink your water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you, Dr. Erica, coming on, sharing information, clearing up some misnomers and stuff like that, because you did. And just sharing your whole story, you know, take care of your grandparents that had dementia and everything.
Right.
And I appreciate you. Thank you for making the time to come on and share with our audience, inform us, and educate us. I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you, LaSheena, and I am grateful to see and proud of you, what you're doing. So thank you.
Likewise. All right. Thank you.
Entrepreneurs, content creation should never be your concern. Socially Established LLC is a social media management business whose mission is to alleviate entrepreneurs and small business owners from managing their social media. Socially Established LLC offers content creation and social media management packages for your convenience. Remember, you were never meant to manage everything on your own. Visit sociallyestablished.com to choose your service package today. Socially Established LLC, establishing what entrepreneurs need.
What does self-care look like to you? Does it look like meditation or journaling? Does it look like putting on your comfiest outfit or having a dance break? Does it maybe even look like listening to a podcast, going for a walk, spending time with family and friends? Self-care can look different for each person, but we would like to share some starting points with you. You can go to our website at www.wesupportcaregivers.org and sign up for our self-care support kit. We choose a deserving caregiver each month to send these intentional items to support your self-care development. We support caregivers because caregivers deserve self-care.